Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We have been in a new series the last 2 weeks, and we are now in our third installment of a series that I actually don't have an official title for, because I originally planned on reporting on a recent event that I had received a Facebook messages simultaneously from a couple of good Facebook friends, and I felt led that I should also comment in regards to these things. Carl Techribe, and I don't know if I've got the proper pronunciation for his name, but he's done a lot of research, and he's been to a lot of different events, as I have as well over many years, and this was drawn to my attention about this particular event, which is known as the Parliament of World Religions. The first one was in 1893, and there's the next one was actually 100 years later in 1993, excuse me, and then there have also been it looks like here, let's see, five more that I'm aware of since. The last one, of course, was just a few months ago, 2018, and before that in 2015. They seem to be on the rise. They seem to be exponentially coming out. Maybe they'll begin to have annual events. I don't know. I think the closer that we get to Christ, there's going to be more and more of these type events that promote interfaith and ecumenism, gathering together all the world's religions, especially, of course, as we Christians would realize in light of Revelation 17, which speaks of Mystery Babylon, the great harlot, the false religious system which the Antichrist and the false prophet will use in their deception of mankind. After the church age ends and after the church has been taken to heaven, I believe that the time of Jacob's trouble, where ultimately a remnant of Jewish people will come to realize Jesus is their Messiah, but it will take this tribulation period and the many terrible things that are going to happen at that time to help bring these Israelites to Christ as well as many Gentiles. Most people, of course, that are left behind after the rapture will be deceived by Antichrist, the false prophet, and this coming world religion, which, of course, there's also going to be a coming world government with a one-world economy. And I'm in the one-world religion phase of this series that I'm doing. And as I mentioned, I am going to be speaking concerning three recent events. Now, I'm still on the first event. This is the third podcast, and I'm still working through the Parliament of World Religions. But if you hang with me throughout the series, I will be letting you know about a couple of other recent events, which I think are significant. So many of these things are coalescing and coming together and working together towards, you know, man's efforts to make God's kingdom here on earth and to save the planet and save Mother Earth and heal Mother Earth and recognize your co-divinity and all of these lies from the pit of hell to deceive mankind and to keep him away from a relationship with the true God only through Jesus Christ, John 14:6. So this event that I have started in on, as we look at these events that are helping to help form this one world religion and one world government, this event, the Parliament of World Religions, I have in the past couple of podcasts been reading some of the articles that I gleaned from around the time of this most recent parliament, and I want to continue in that vein, as I have at least one or two more articles to share with you. I have a couple that I will probably be sharing this podcast and then later down the road in this series from, again, the same website concerning these folks. Well, this one is actually, excuse me, it's entitled the World Interfaith Harmony Week. Now, interfaith is a big word to these folks. Very popular, of course, because they want to mix interfaith. They want to mix all of the world's religions. They want to have this respect for each other, and they want to appreciate each other and commend one and each other, and basically because they believe all paths are going to lead to God, which again is a spiritual deception, and it's a lie, and they've been deceived, and they're the blind leading the blind. But this is why interfaith is a big word to them. Now, ecumenism is a word that's used more in Christian circles, or it has in the past, for combining different churches, different denominations, etc., and for them to all become one. But that has gone past, you know, the Catholic Church and the Worldwide Council of Churches, etc., and other liberal groups. It's gone beyond just forming together so-called Christian churches into joining up with false religions. And you know why? Because the Catholic Church and those so-called liberal, those so-called Christian churches that are liberals are false religions themselves. So, hey, it's no big stretch for them to join together with people who also would say the same thing. Hey, all paths lead to God. It's okay. Don't be so exclusive as to say that only Jesus Christ can get you to God and all that. Just because he died on the cross for you, and just because God gave up his only begotten son, this perfect son, to die for you, hey, you know, don't let that make you think that God says there's only one way to get to him, unless you want to believe God and his word. But anyway, I get angry at the lies that Satan deceives people with. We're supposed to, you know, love the sinner and hate the sin. Well, I hate the sin that Satan has put upon mankind through all of these false religions. What I like to call the way of Cain. Cain and Abel were brothers. Cain killed Abel because Abel chose to follow the path that God told him to, whereas Cain rejected it and decided to go his own path through a path of religious works. And that's what all these false religions are about, religious works. How can we please God? How can we become God? How can we build the kingdom of God here on earth, etc., etc.? And of course, they lack the faith to see the most important perspective is the eternal perspective. We can't live just for now and for this world. We have to, that's what the Bible teaches, of course, is we live one day at a time. And, you know, we're to store our treasures in heaven. We're here temporarily. We're pilgrims. We're sojourners. We're here to share the gospel with people, you know, who are dying, a dying world, that they might come to Christ, they might come to have eternal life, that they may not be condemned with the rebels of this world, the children of the devil who won't repent. I was a child of the devil. We all were children of the devil before we came to Christ, and there's still a lot of people who are children of the devil now. Now, they'll tell you that, oh, no, we're all children of God. You just have to discover it. Well, that's a lie, and that's a self-deception, and that's an inconvenient truth. Anyway, here I go, pontificating. But what I speak to you, I speak because I believe it is that I'm speaking the truth in love. Inconvenient or not, it's loving to tell the truth, because people's souls are on the line. And by the way, if I hadn't mentioned it before, I'm going to mention it again. Please keep me in prayer. Keep my ministry in prayer. Keep all of our ministry here on Rapture Ready Radio in prayer. The most important thing that we all need is prayer. We need God's help and God's strength in whatever we do. So please remember me in your prayers. And thank God for all of you who listen. I pray this is a blessing and helpful to you in your life. Now, this article I was beginning to read before I so rudely interrupted myself, excuse me, the World Interfaith Harmony Week, it says the subtitle, UN Official Observance, the First Week of February. Well, now we're in March, so we see that we're on down the road a little bit here, aren't we? But this is how recent these activities have been with this Parliament of World Religions. The Parliament of World Religions is your partner in observing World Interfaith Harmony Week. Join the Parliament of the World Religions in observing the yearly commemoration of interfaith harmony in the world. Our team wants to help you host an interfaith event as part of the UN's official observance of World Interfaith Harmony Week. The article goes on, the World Interfaith Harmony Week is based on UNGA Resolution A/65/PV.34. Now, I hope you're taking notes. Just kidding. For a worldwide week of interfaith harmony. It was proposed in 2010 by H.M. King Abdullah II and H.R.H. Prince Ghazi bin Mohammed of Jordan, Okay, these are the monarchs there in the country of Jordan. All around the world, organizations and individuals host events during the first week of February to help neighbors of different faiths get to know each other and build a foundation for more peaceful and friendly communities. Now I have a little bit more to say about what's been taking place in Jordan and Saudi Arabia along this line. Isn't it interesting that these Muslims, monarchs, have been, you know, proposing these type of things concerning interfaith harmony, harmony with other religions? Well, gee, I thought Muslims were saying, hey, this is the only religion, man. You know, and in fact, that is what they used to say. And it's what still some of them say. Interfaith harmony. Sure, they may be saying, hey, Muslims, Islam is still the only true way, but let's be in harmony. That isn't the way it always was, of course, with Islam, because they used to try to conquer civilizations and force people, and some, of course, of the terrorists still do, by terrorizing people into their belief system. But anyway, I'll have more to say about Saudi Arabia in a little bit, perhaps today or next week. The World Interfaith Harmony Week provides a platform, 1 week in a year, when all interfaith groups and other groups of goodwill can show the world what a powerful movement they are. At the Parliament of World Religions, we believe that observing World Interfaith Harmony Week and helping individuals host events and observance is an extension of our mission to cultivate harmony among the world's religious and spiritual communities and foster their engagement with the world and its guiding institutions in order to achieve a just, peaceful, and sustainable world. There's that word sustainable I commented on one of my earlier podcasts. Sustainable world. You know, we got to deal with climate change and all of these problems, global warming. We need to sustain this world. We got to help keep this together, you know. I mean, there's no God out there that's going to do this for us, right? You know, well, yeah, I think God's in control myself. But anyway, that's a term you'll hear a lot, sustainable world. But just to repeat that sentence, and foster their engagement with the world and its guiding institutions in order to achieve a just, peaceful, and sustainable world. And I added, and to help create one big, happy, spiritual harlot. Revelation 17. The Parliament is a non-governmental organization associated with the UN through the United Nations Department of Public Information. Our UN task force facilitates participation across several annual activities of the UN to align the efforts of the Parliament of the world's religions to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and advocate for interfaith perspectives and actions with World Interfaith Harmony Week, the Commission on the Status of Women, the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, a UN/DPI Annual Conference, and more. The Parliament of the World's Religions is the world's largest, oldest, most diverse, and inclusive convening organization of the global interfaith movement. It's not the only one, by the way, but apparently it's the world's largest, oldest, and most diverse. But there are other groups, of course, also trying to achieve bringing together this interfaith movement and bringing together all different religions into a New Age-type religion of the future for the false prophet and the Antichrist to use. The Parliament of the World's Religions was created to cultivate harmony among the world's religious and spiritual communities and foster their engagement with the world and its guiding institutions in order to achieve a just, peaceful, and sustainable world. There's that sustainable word again. Now, they make some comments here, and this is where I'll be making a little bit of a segue. But I will be commenting, as I said, about the Saudi Arabian deal, too, along with the Jordanian leaders' royalty. About the John Templeton Foundation, okay? There's a mention of the John Templeton Foundation. The John Templeton Foundation serves as a philanthropic catalyst for discoveries relating to the deepest and most perplexing questions facing humankind. They support research on subjects ranging from complexity, evolution, and emergence to creativity, forgiveness, and free will. The foundation encourages civil, informed dialogue among scientists, philosophers, and theologians, as well as between such experts and the public at large. In all cases, their goal is the same, to spur curiosity and accelerate discovery. Inspired by the intellectual legacy of Sir John Templeton, the vision of the John Templeton Foundation is one of infinite scientific and spiritual progress, in which all people aspire to and attain a deeper understanding of the universe and their place in it. They look forward to a world where people are curious about the wonders of the universe, motivated to pursue lives of meaning and purpose, and overwhelmed by great and selfless love. Now, John Templeton Foundation. So, of course, I've somewhat familiar with that in the past, that group, and but I said, well, let's go ahead and go to the website then for the John Templeton Foundation. And so I want to read a little bit from their website. This is really the headline at the top of their website from, this is November 2018 through, no, I'm sorry, 11/2018 through March 2020. So this is an ongoing deal here. It says, through this project, the Parliament of the World's Religions will promote World Interfaith Harmony Week and encourage high-quality projects to apply for the awards given by His Majesty King Abdul II, who I mentioned earlier. We will leverage the extensive network we have built over the last 25 years that includes interfaith organizations, faith-based organizations, local governments, lesser-known religious groups, and individuals of faith, goodwill, or conscience. This network includes participants from our large convenings called parliaments, the next of which will be in Toronto. That's the one I'm talking about. Although our network is centered in North America, it also includes 100-plus ambassadors around the world, representatives at the UN, and contacts in Europe, Africa, Asia, and India. Now, I mentioned when I spoke about the 2009 conference, parliament, in my first podcast, I mentioned that I would say something more about that one. That one was held in Melbourne, Australia. In 2009, we held the Parliament in Melbourne, which contributed to the rise of the interfaith organization that recently won an award from H.M. King Abdullah. We also pursue interfaith projects through Task Force on Critical Issues, further extending our network. All right, now I want to share with you an article from the Wall Street Journal. In regards to King Abdullah and the other prince that was mentioned, the Jordanian Muslims, Muslim royalty, and they're reaching out through interfaith means to other religions to want to kind of, can't we all get along and be buddies kind of stuff, sing kumbaya or whatever, being hardcore Muslims, you know, which strikes me as really odd. Seems like something that might just happen in the last days. I don't know. But I found an article in the Wall Street Journal, and I'd like to comment on that. The title is, The Saudis Take on Radical Islam. And this is from Tuesday, March the 20th, 2018. So this is about a year ago. And this is by Adel Al-Taraifi. This is from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. It says, the year 1979 was a watershed for the Middle East. Iranian revolutionaries overthrew the Shah, the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, and Sunni Islamic extremists tried to take over the Grand Mosque of Mecca in Saudi Arabia, Islam's holiest shrine. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman hadn't been born, but he is fighting the ghosts of 1979 as he dramatically reforms the kingdom. Okay, now there's a picture actually of Mohammed bin Salman here in this article from the Wall Street Journal. It says, the Crown Prince charts a course towards moderation, which prevailed before the 1979 attack on Mecca that they referred to earlier in the article. The article, towards the end of the article, it says, at an October 2017 conference for international investors, Crown Prince Mohammed laid out his ideas for moderate Islam. Saudi Arabia was not like this before 1979, he said. We want to go back to what we were, the moderate Islam that's open to all religions? Did he just say that? We want to live a normal life, coexist and contribute to the world. We will not spend the next 30 years of our lives dealing with these destructive ideas. Really? Wow. Well, I'd say that's good news. I'd also say that's incredible news. You know, you can go back to the origin of Islam in Muhammad, and, you know, the conquests and the things that were part of Islam historically, this gentleman wants us to believe that Saudi Arabia was not like this before 1979. And this is the heart of Sunni Islam. You know, this is where the mosque of Mecca, the grand mosque, where they march around the thing, you know. And he's saying, we want to go back to what we were, the moderate Islam that's open to all religions. Wow. I'll tell you, these are exciting times. And I think, you know, King Jordan there that we just talked about, the King of Jordan, excuse me, his name's not King Jordan, and then the Saudi prince here, isn't this fascinating, amazing, wanting to group together with these other false religions and you know, let's all just get together through the interfaith highway. Now, I want to use that, you know, as kind of a segue back, you know, to the Templeton Foundation, because I want to say a little bit more about that. Now, I have a bit of time left. I may not be able to get through this article. I have such a hard time sometimes with pronunciation of people's names. I actually heard this woman speak before. She's a wonderful researcher. But I'm going to have to spell her last name. Probably should spell her first name. I think she's from a Scandinavian country. Barrett, B-E-R-I-T, K-J-O-S. So I don't have to butcher her last name. And she has a wonderful ministry, a discernment ministry. And she did an article. I don't have the date of the article handy right here. It's an older article because the John Templeton Foundation has been around for some time. But the title of this article is Merging Religion and Mystical Science, the Templeton Foundation. Of course, Dave Hunt has spoken a lot about the John Templeton Foundation, and others have as well, and the dangers of this very New Age type group, mind science, very friendly with mind science and New Age ideas, that have given these religion awards. And even to supposed evangelical Christians, very notable, very well known, very undiscerning, apparently evangelical Christians have received the John Templeton Religion Award. But anyway, with the time that I have left, and I'm pretty confident I'm not going to make it through this whole article, so we will take it up in the next podcast if I don't make it through. Let's see how we do. There are various topics within the foundation that I want to address, but the fact that they're partnering together with the Parliament of World Religions, I think, of course, is very significant. So many things going on in the world today, so many layers and so many waves of different things and deception going on. It's just an amazing time to live. And Jesus said, "Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God." See all these things happening. God's in control. He told us in advance the things that are going to be happening. And we look at these some of these specific details of some of the main players, and we go, wow, could this be part of what Jesus was telling us? Yes, I believe it is, my friends. And thank you, Jesus, that you've let us know the kind of things that would be coming. Now, let me get to the article. John Templeton, this is like a quote, I guess, from a newspaper or something. It says, John Templeton dies in the Bahamas. It says, Templeton graduated from Yale University and became a Rhodes Scholar, earning a master's degree in law at Oxford University. Templeton was influenced by the Unity School of Christianity, which I have mentioned often. This is a mind science neo-Gnostic cult. This is actually where Robert Schuller went to help try to build their cult. I've got the tape that I got from Dave Hunt's ministries, actually, where you can hear for your very own self him addressing the Unity people and how thrilled he was to be able to talk to them, because they were positive, they weren't like those negative fundamental Christians. But anyway, I digress. Templeton was influenced by the Unity School of Christianity, which takes a non-literal view of heaven and hell. There is no heaven, and more importantly, there is no hell. So, you know, what do you need Jesus for, right? Templeton was influenced by the Unity School of Christianity, and he also was a member of the Presbyterian Church and a board member of the Princeton Theological Seminary. Well, we know the Princeton Theological Seminary went went, you know, crashed and burned long ago. It was originally founded to train missionaries and pastors a long time ago in the early history of our country, but it's apostatized long ago into nothing more than a liberal think tank college, really, Ivory Tower College. In 1987, he established, so this is an older article, as you can see. 1987, he established the John Templeton Foundation to fund projects that could reconcile religion and science. Well, the article wasn't in 1987, but anyway, it's commenting on just the fact that Templeton has been around for some time. The Pennsylvania-based nonprofit has an estimated endowment of $1.5 billion. That was then. Grants have been awarded to studies ranging from evolutionary biology, so they're all for evolution, the belief in evolution, and cosmology, to love and forgiveness. Templeton was knighted in 1987 for his philanthropic accomplishments. Now, here's some comments on the Unity School of Christianity. It's a classic New Age cult, also known as a New Thought, or as I say, a mind science neo-Gnostic cult. It has the appearance of being Christian. However, it holds pantheistic or New Age beliefs at its core. As I mentioned in an earlier podcast, they have their own labyrinth there. I've visited many times, and they have a bookstore that's just full of occultic and mind science New Age type materials. Founded by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore in 1889 and was later incorporated as a church in 1903 by the Unity Society of Practical Christianity. The Unity School of Christianity began as a quest for physical healing by its co-founder. Even before their marriage in March of 1881, Myrtle had already developed an eclectic theology. Charles, also obviously an eclectic theology, because he had a background in Hinduism, Buddhism, Rosicrucianism, which is a secret society, and Theosophy. Now, grants to the Association of Unity Churches from John Templeton Foundation in the years 1999 through 2004 were $3,509,971. Did I get that right? No, forgive me. $3,509,971. Yeah, big difference between a million and a billion. Sorry about that. Still and yet, there was $3.5 million that went to a cult from the John Templeton Foundation. Very sad. All right, I knew I wouldn't get through the article. We have quite a bit more left, so I will continue in the article next week. God bless you. I think you'll, I hope and pray you'll return if we're still here, if the Lord hasn't taken us home. God bless you all. Good night.